Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Trying to make contact with Bill Ballinger. We had him on a little bit earlier today, and hoping we can catch up with him very, very shortly. I want to throw this idea out there and let you kick this around a little bit, because we're going to discuss it at 6:08. And that has to do with a National Day of Service. This has been suggested before in various ways, but particularly relevant now on the eve of 9/11 and the anniversary. As we prepare for the emotional impact of this, and hard to believe we're coming up on 10 years, what better day to commemorate, what better way and day to commemorate what the United States stands for than to show that terrorists cannot defeat us? And that we are going to hold to the values and principles which has made this country great. And one of them is the giving spirit that we have seen so often. If it became a national holiday, a day that everyone tried to do good deeds to make this country a better place, think of the manpower, think of the effort, think of the energy behind that. A lot of people have suggested that we have mandatory service, not military service, but some sort of service for our country. I'm willing to start with one day. I'm willing to start with a September 11th commemoration and see where that goes. And we're going to talk with a couple people a little bit later about that. I want to throw that idea out there. Scott, while we're trying to reach Bill Ballinger, you'd be willing to do something for one day, take one day that wouldn't be a holiday per se in the way we know them now, but a national service day.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I've got no problem giving a day to society for that.
Yeah, and I think that it would not be intrusive. It's not a matter of people having to do something for a two-year period after college. It's not a matter of them having to travel abroad. It's a matter of them doing something in our country, and it could be projects that are generated here. But I think that all the values that we think about on 9/11, all the things that have made America great, would be reflected in something like this. So certainly something to think about, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. Scott, I think we're also going to hear a recorded message a little bit later, a package that was put together about 9/11 and what happened that day. There's some eerie recordings that have been compiled of people calling loved ones, of actual broadcasts of reactions, people seeing the plane slam into the tower. There's one part of this, a recording of a guy calling his wife, and she wasn't there, but just basically telling her how much he loved her, that he thought he would never see her again, that it looked like it was going to be an inescapable situation. But it's eerie to think that as you look down and you see your many, many, many stories high in the air, and you know what is happening below you, you kind of see the end is near. Hard to think how you would react in that situation. It's hard to think of how you would react if you were on one of the planes, Scott. And we know that you know, the group that was on the plane over Pennsylvania, it said, let's roll, and then they proceeded to attack the attackers. And they knew that they were doomed. They were going to go down anyway. The question is whether that plane was going to strike another government building, and decided that it wasn't, if they had anything to do about it. And, you know, it's kind of the ultimate heroism, I guess. But that's the kind of thing that we see in times of utter trauma. And we will continue to try to reach Bill Ballinger, and maybe we can reschedule him. I don't know exactly what happened that phone call, because we had made arrangements to talk with him a little bit earlier. We were going to talk about the debate format, which has been agreed upon now. After basically a line drawn in the sand today, there's going to be a series of three gubernatorial debates. and some last-minute negotiations.
How much ground do you think Virge Bernero can make up with these three debates?
With the debates, some. He's a very good debater, and I think that he will have high expectations going in. People will assume that Rick Snyder will not, but I think that Virge Bernero, if he doesn't win the debates, then he's really in trouble. But I would think that he'll make up some ground. Now he finally has ads out. You know, he hasn't had the advertising to go with his platform, but I think he has a message now in terms of Main Street. He's going to try to paint Rick Snyder as this job shipper who is costing America jobs, sending him overseas. We'll see how much traction he gets with that. But a lot to talk about between now and November 2nd, and we'll stay on top of that as much as we can. We're going to talk with Derek Wallbank, our Washington-based political reporter, while we continue to try to reach Bill Ballinger. And we'll find out from Derek exactly what's going on Capitol Hill. So we will talk with him in just a couple of moments. We have Bill. Do we locate Bill? All right, let's try to get Bill on the phone now if we can. And we will do this very quickly. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Jack. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. you're a busy guy. We appreciate you joining us. I want to talk a little bit about these debates, which I guess there's been consensus now. What's going to happen? A series of three debates.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Virge Bernero wanted three debates a day. But proposal for eight debates did not go through. But finally, there were some negotiating lines in the sand drawn. And finally, apparently now, we have debate negotiations ending without agreement. We just got an update about a minute ago here. And after the Bernero campaign had put out a release saying that there had been agreement on three debates, now I have something from Bill Nowling saying that the negotiations have ended without agreement. After Virge Bernero refused to agree to all of the provisions that were set forth here by the Snyder camp.
Right.
And well, I guess if you have a 19 or 22-point lead or whatever it is, and you're in the driver's seat, you can negotiate in any way you see fit. I don't know whether the public will look at that and hold them accountable in any way for that.
Well, that's the big issue. I mean, we go through this every 4 years, and usually the tradition has come into being over the last three decades that the gubernatorial candidates have two or three debates. But there have been exceptions. For instance, in 1998, and we may have discussed this on this show before, John Engler had served two terms as governor and was running for a third term. He was being challenged by Jeffrey Feiger, the Democratic nominee, the trial attorney, and Feiger was, shall we say, very disrespectful of the governor and made many comments, some of them almost scurrilous, that obviously angered Engler, although he wasn't very vocal about it, but there was a lot of comment about it at about this time, 12 years ago. And guess what? Feiger ended up with no debates. Engler simply said, in fact, he never said anything. There were, you know, Feiger sounded just like Virgil Bernero does now. He wanted 8 debates, 10 debates, 12 debates, and he ended up with none. We could be headed in that direction again. That's entirely possible. The difference this time is, obviously, that there is no incumbent governor. I mean, Engler was a known commodity.
Right.
And Feiger had developed a lot of negatives, and there was a lot of criticism of him, and a lot of people felt that, you know, he was comporting himself badly. And so I don't think it really did backfire on Engler that he refused to debate Feiger. I don't think people did hold it against him. Feiger even had a debate by himself with a chicken sitting in a chair, you know, the old stage pot. But none of it seemed to do any good. I mean, Engler just blew Feiger out by 23, 24 points. It was like 62 to 38.
Could Feiger have beaten the chicken?
yeah. So, I mean, right now, you're right. In fact, there was a poll the other day that actually had Snyder up by 27 points.
Yes.
27.
Yes.
And I mean, so every poll that's been taken since the primary has shown, you know, a gap between roughly 15 and 27 points, and frankly, they've been going up.
Yeah.
The margin of distance between Snyder and Bernero, not down. And, of course, Bernero has now started attack ads on TV against Snyder. And, it could just be that Snyder is going to decide to wait and see whether the attack ads have any traction. And if it doesn't look like they do, he may just decide, look, I got a 20-25-point lead. A few people know who Virgil Bernero is. Those that do don't particularly like him. His unfavorables are higher than his favorables. Mine, meaning Snyder, are much higher favorables than unfavorables, and I'm just going to disregard them. It could happen.
Well, I heard today that Rick Snyder was going to do a different kind of campaigning. Last week, he was at a tailgate at the University of Michigan football game, and I suggested that they have a picture taken of Denard Robinson, the quarterback, and Rick Snyder, and they could caption it, Denard and Denard.
That's pretty good, Jack. You know, you're in the wrong line of work here.
That's been suggested many times, too.
One of these campaigns have got to sign you up. Maybe that's what Bernero needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Get you in there, and you can write a little copy, and maybe you can turn this around, and debates will happen.
Well, in a span of 1 hour and 16 minutes here, Bill, we have had conflicting releases. Bernero agrees to Snyder's debate proposal. Debate negotiations end without agreement.
Well, when it says "end," that's a little ominous.
Yes, it is.
I mean, if it means simply they ended for today, we're going to have a nice weekend. That's one thing, but that almost sounds terminal the way it's written.
Yeah, the last Snyder release says no further negotiations are scheduled.
Whoa. Well, I mean, again, I'm telling you, it could happen that there could be no debates. Now, I think it's pretty weird that you'd have an open seat for the governorship with all of Michigan's problems and our budget crises rolling from year to year, and we've got two very new faces that people really know very little about, either one of them, and they're not going to debate. I mean, that really would be unprecedented in the modern era. I mean, again, 12 years ago, Engler was a known commodity.
Right.
And Feiger, you know, was obnoxious, and that gave Engler an excuse not to face him. But in this case, I mean, maybe Snyder does find Bernero a little obnoxious, but not as bad as Feiger, and besides, it's an open seat.
Right. We will talk about this much more next week, I'm sure, and by then we'll probably know, Bill.
We may not know, Jack. This may be a continuing subject of debate here all the way up to November 2nd. You and I
the
can
debate
just
on the
about
debate.
This every
I love
week.
It. Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics, our guest. We'll be right back with Derek Wallbank, our Washington-based political reporter, coming up on Ebling & You.